trials come or cease. Keep me always on my knees. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. Lord, help me to remember I'm weak, but you are strong. I cannot sing apart from you, for Lord, you are my song. Although I'm prone to wander and boast in all I do, Lord, keep my eyes turned upward, so I depend on you. Lord, I need you. When the sea of life is calm, oh Lord, I need you. When the wind is blowing strong, whether trials come or cease, keep me always on my knees. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to
cry of our heart. Amen. I need thee every hour. 2 Corinthians 7. 2 Corinthians 7. Find that text in the New Testament. If you're getting familiar with your Bible, about halfway between Matthew and Revelation, you'll come to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Give you a moment to find it. We'll stand together and we'll read a few verses. We haven't done this for a while, so let's read responsively tonight. Why don't we? I'll begin with verse 12 and read through verse 16. Join me on the odd verses, 13 and 15. Let's stand together, 2 Corinthians 7. And I'll begin reading in verse 12. Paul says, "Wherefore, though I wrote unto you, I did it not for his cause that had done the wrong, nor for his cause that suffered wrong, but that our care for you in the sight of God might appear unto you. Therefore, we were comforted in your comfort, yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. For if I have boasted anything to him of you, I am not ashamed. But as we spake all things to you in truth, even so our boasting, which I made before Titus, is found a truth. And his inward affection is more abundant toward you, whilst he remembereth the obedience of you all, how with fear and trembling ye received him. I rejoice, therefore, that I have confidence in you in all things." Now, I want you to look at the wording here of verse 13. It's a little awkward to us, but not to the Scriptures, not to this day and age when it was written. But the middle of the verse, "And exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus." Now, I'm going to take those three words, "the more joyed," and preach to you about an attitude that all of us should live with from day to day. The more joyed. Father in heaven, would you please help me tonight? I just want to be the tool out of your pouch, like a carpenter would use a hammer or a wrench or a screwdriver, or just a tool. If you would just take me and use me tonight to be a help to a blessing to these folk, Lord, many of them have sat through numerous services in the last 8 days. We come again. We thank you for the deep, deep Word of God. And I ask you to bless our church tonight as only you can. In Christ's name, and amen. Thank you and be seated. The more joyed. We have a tendency to judge the success or failure of something based on how it affected us, how it impacted our hearts. Two or three examples. You go to a presentation of, let's say, the Messiah, and we go with a certain level of expectation, looking for something in particular. And if that presentation of the Messiah doesn't meet our expectation, we leave somewhat disappointed, and we carry a less than positive reaction to having been there. Now, what we don't think about sometimes is there were possibly several hundred others who attended the same performance of the Messiah, maybe some of them for the first time, maybe some of them for the seventh time, and to them, their expectations were exceeded, far surpassed, and they leave raving about the same experience that we left disappointed in, because we judge it by how it impacts us. You go to a ball game, and the same thing. You have a certain level of expectation going to that ball game, and if your expectations are fulfilled, then it's enjoyable. If your expectations are disappointed, you know, then you're not so happy. And maybe thousands of others had super enthusiasm and super excitement, but we judge it by how it has impacted us, impacted our lives. Yesterday afternoon, I had fun. I came home after visiting, following up on a lot of the folks who were here last week, and then went to the house and ate a quick sandwich, went in to see Dad for a little bit, caught Dad for a little while, and then went back to the house. And sometimes, many times on Saturday afternoon, I use that time to catch up on correspondence that's come in on Thursday and Friday and Saturday. Sometimes there's pastors to return phone calls to, missionaries, so forth. And I did some of that yesterday afternoon. I sat down, had my stack of stuff with me, and I turned on the Cubs baseball game. I knew they were playing, and it was the ninth inning. They were ahead 3-0, and I usually watch it with the sound muted and just read the letters and kind of glance to see, keep an eye on what's going on, and they won the game. And as is tradition at Wrigley Field, they started playing, you know, that song, Cubs, go Cubs, go, go Cubs, go. And I'm getting ready to turn the thing off, and I'm that looks like Brian Tarks. And then I looked, and next to him was that woman, looked just like Leslie. And I thought, then I saw Amelia, and I said, the Tarks are at the Cubs game. And I was wondering what that was in that cup he was holding. But anyway, no, I won't go there. So anyway, and so I texted them. I said, you guys look good singing Go Cubs Go. At least, folks, they weren't doing this number, okay? They were kind of watching around. And I saw them, television stars. There they are, Brian and Leslie Tarks. And sign them up, right? But I hope you had a good time. And they won the game. So your level of expectation was probably fulfilled. And you say, it's great. But, you know, you base the success or failure of something on how it impacted you. Here's a place of interest. And, you know, don't you love these reviews? You say, well, I don't know if I want to go here or not. So, okay, I'll go online and get a review. And people write the review. And it was great. It was wonderful. It was tremendous. It was time well spent. And looking forward to going back again. The very next review was boring. It was too costly. It was too crowded. Could have been better presented. We'll never go back again. And, you know, what you got, folks, is this. You know, those are not unbiased. They are based on the impact that person received personally. Now, listen very carefully, because here's the message tonight. It is a good day for us when we learn to enjoy someone else's enjoyment. It's a good day for us when we learn to enjoy someone else's enjoyment. Now, this happens when you have kids and you take them somewhere. You know, you're not particularly excited about the place that you're taking them, but you sure get excited watching their excitement. You have great joy in their enjoyment, right? When Ben's kids were here, when Ben was home last time in the States, we took, I think, do we have all of them, Joyce? Do we have all the kids, grandkids? We took them all to the ball factory. I forget where. Is that Naperville, Aurora? There's a ball factory up there, and this place is just this humongous place, and it's full of all these slides, and we have all these. We took them to McDonald's, and then took them to the ball factory. And to be honest with you, the ball factory, there's not much there that really excites me. It, you know, it's just a ball factory, okay? And you're too big for the thing. But man, did I enjoy watching those grandkids. I forget how, probably a dozen of them at least, watching those grandkids running around and playing up there. That was more fun. The time flew because I'm just watching them. A little Evan, you know, he was afraid of the slide until one of his older brothers took him down the slide. Then you couldn't keep him off the slide. Up, and he's like a just over and over and over and over again. When you go to the zoo, you may not necessarily. Now, my wife would tell you, I love the zoo. I love the zoo. I love it. I think it's wonderful. I just love seeing the animals. And I never minded going to the zoo. We hit about every zoo between Iowa and Atlanta, Georgia, on our trips over the years. But the thing that was nice about the zoo was I got enjoyment out of watching the kids. Last time Ben was home, we didn't take everybody. We took the three girls, up to American Doll Store. Now, I'll promise you, there's nothing about that place that interests me. And especially when you start looking at price tags. It's like, heaven help us. You know what you wish? You wish, why didn't I think of this? You know what I'm saying? You know, just making these dolls. So, you know, but you find joy in somebody else's enjoy. You get the picture, right? So Paul wrote in verse 13, "And exceedingly the more joyed we," himself and maybe a couple other companions, "for the joy of Titus." Now, I want you to notice what Paul was talking about here. Look at verse number 12. "Wherefore, though I wrote unto you, I did it not." What's he talking about there? He's talking about 1 Corinthians. Right? Okay. "Wherefore, though I wrote unto you, I did it not for his cause that had done the wrong." Remember the guy in chapter 5? He needs to get right or get out. You got to put him out, all right? "I did it not for his cause that had done the wrong, nor for his cause that had suffered wrong, but that our care for you in the sight of God might appear unto you." So verse 12, Paul says, humanly speaking, he wrote to them to prove his sincere care for them. Did he write mainly for the cause of the one who did wrong? Did he write mainly for the cause of the one who had been wronged? No, both of those folks were helped by his letter. They were impacted by it. But his main purpose was because he cared for the church. And because he cared for the church, he dealt with a problem. And by the way, this is not my message tonight. This is not my message. But let me say this. A pastor who lets things go, who allows things to loosen up, he just lacks a certain care for the church. And I'm going to tell you something. The older you get, the harder it gets. And I heard guys say that, and I never understood it because I was young. And I'm not old. But I'm older than young. Thank you for agreeing with me, okay? And it does. It gets more difficult. But you know what? You hear me sometimes up here in the pulpit dealing with things sometimes, and you think, boy, he's really getting after someone. People, it's not just someone, it's the church that I care about. It's this church body that I care about. And that's what Paul is saying here. He said, you know what? He said, I believe the first letter helped the one who did the wrong. In fact, that's what 2 Corinthians 7 is all about. The church had gotten clean. They'd gotten victory. So he said, you know, I'm glad the letter helped the one who did wrong, and I'm glad the letter helped the one that had been wronged, but really it was my care for the church that made me write that letter. Of course, you understand it was under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So Paul wrote this tough letter, 1 Corinthians, because he truly cared for the church. So look at verse 13. "Therefore, we were comforted in your comfort, yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all." Now, here's what happened. After writing 1 Corinthians and sending it to them, you know, Paul wanted to know how it had been received. He wanted to know, folks, do you remember 1 Corinthians? You're a bunch of babies. You're a bunch of carnal babies. Shame on you. You turned the Lord's Supper into a fiasco. You're not mourning over the sin that's taken place in the church. You're puffed up. Nobody's going to tell us what to do. Shame. He shamed them. And so he sends them this letter. And then like any normal caring pastor, he wants to know, I wonder how they received it. And he can't get on the phone and call Brother so-and-so at the Church of Corinth and say, hey, how did the letter go over? Can't do that. So you know what he did? He sent Titus. He said, I want you to go to Corinth. I want you to check on the church down there. I want you to gauge their spirit. I want you to see how the letter went over. See how how things are going in the church. And when Titus came, he found things to be in good shape. He found things to be in good order. And Paul said when he heard back from Titus, Titus got word to Paul, said, hey, Paul, things are in pretty good shape in Corinth. Things are really shaped up. The people took the letter to heart. And Paul was comforted by the fact that the church was comforted. And he joyed the more because Titus had found joy. And Titus's spirit was refreshed in Corinth. Paul sent Titus down there. And Titus got word back to Paul. And Titus said, man, I'm excited. It fills my heart with joy, Paul. And I'm refreshed by the visit to the church. And yes, Paul enjoyed that. But he joyed more that Titus got a blessing out. Do you see what I'm saying? Do you see that there? The more joyed we for the joy of Titus. He said, boy, I sent a young man down there. And you know what? It was wonderful to see his response and see how it impacted him. It impacted Paul with great joy. But boy, he was more excited about what it did for Titus than what it did for him. It'd be a great day when we learn to enjoy somebody else's enjoyment. Even if we didn't enjoy it. Somebody else got a blessing out of it. So he sends Titus. Titus to check on things at Corinth. And when Titus came, he found these things to be wonderful. And Paul found personal comfort in the report. But he found greater joy just knowing that Titus found joy and that Titus was refreshed. Have you ever visited somewhere on vacation and you took your family, you took your spouse, and you went there and you had a good time and you saw the sights and you did the things and you went around and you did everything and you came back and then you found out afterwards, later on, some time had passed, you found out that a friend or a neighbor or a relative or somebody was planning to go to the same place. And you called them on the phone. You said, man, you have got, while you're there, you've got to. I've done this with people traveling out east going through Pennsylvania. If you ever get out east in Pennsylvania, you need to go to Lancaster and see sight and sound. It's tremendous. Or if you go to Branson, Missouri, you want to take your kids somewhere. It's a little pricey. You have to save some money. But you talk about a presentation, a dramatic presentation. It knocks your socks off. And we every chance we get, we take the seniors and juniors on the trip. And so I remember telling people, look, man, you get close enough to sight and sound, you've got to go. You've got to take it in. And I think we took your mom and dad, or at least your dad up there the first time. I can't remember if mom was already in heaven or not. It's unbelievable. They had Noah's Ark, they had Moses, they had Abraham sacrificing Isaac on the altar. They had the Passion of Christ, Joseph, the coat of many colors. It is unbelievable, folks. And I've told people about it. I've been there. I've enjoyed it. So I encourage somebody to go, and then I hear back from them, hey, you know what? We got out there to Lancaster, we got down there to Branson, and we went to sight and sound. Oh, man, did you enjoy? Oh, man, did we enjoy it. Thank you. And it's almost like you get more joy out of knowing that they had joy than the joy you got yourself. All right? Are we together? See, it's not rocket science. It's simple. That's what Paul said. Now, here's where I'm going. We had a good conference this past week. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We had a blessed time. You know, but we come away from a conference like this and we're tempted to evaluate the meeting by how it impacted us. There are years when the personal impact I receive from this conference is huge. Or, in the spirit of our president, it's huge. Right? Over the top, powerful, I mean exciting. There are other years when the personal impact I receive, it's average, it's good, it's solid, it's helpful. Then there are years when the personal impact I receive is minimal. Maybe it was endurance. And it can be that way. Sermon after sermon after sermon after sermon after sermon. Now, you know what? For me, people said, man, and I agree, what a conference. This year was not the huge type. It wasn't the minimal endurance type. This year for me was average, good, solid, and helpful. There are several things I took from this conference that really encouraged me. But people, it's not about me. It's not about what I got out of it. It's not just about what did I receive. When I have a pastor pull me aside in the gymnasium over there after the service in the morning, one of the mornings, pull me aside over there and take me just kind of off by ourselves. And when he says to me, this meeting may have salvaged my ministry. Now I have the more joy knowing he got help. I have the more joy knowing he got refreshed. When I have a pastor meet me in one of these aisles, I won't say which one, after one of the morning services, put his head on my shoulder, a young pastor, put his head on my shoulder and sob, saying, thank you for having this. It really doesn't matter what I got out of it. I have the more joy knowing he got help. I have the more joy knowing he got refreshed. When I stand at this pulpit at the close of a message, while heads are still bowed and eyes are closed and people are in prayer in the audience, and I see the tissues coming out of the purses, and I see the men with the back of their hands wiping the tears from their eyes, now I have the more joy knowing that they got help. I have the more joy knowing that they got refreshed. So let me ask you, does it really matter how it impacts me? If others are getting help? Does it really matter how it impacts us? If other people are getting refreshed? And I'm not saying I didn't get any help. Listen, I got some great help from this meeting. Some tremendous help. It was like, for me, it was an average year. It wasn't huge, over the top. It wasn't, you know, endurance. It was right in the middle, good, solid. I'm not saying at all that I wish we hadn't had it. I am just more joyed that others received help and that others got refreshed and that others were blessed. That's the more joy, is that somebody else got help. You say, well, Pastor, it just didn't do anything for me. It really didn't move me this year. So it's a loss. It's a failure. It's a waste because it didn't move me or didn't move you. The truth is, folks, the attitude that Paul possessed is an attitude that we should carry with us about church in general, not just special meetings. You come to a service, it impacts you, it hits a nerve, it helps you, it thrills you, it changes you, and you leave thinking, man, it was great, man, it was wonderful, man, it was outstanding. But then the next service, there's no impact, there's no nerve hit, there's no help, there's no thrill, there's no change, a big change, you know. And, well, that was a bummer and that was a waste. Was it? Was it? Because sitting across the auditorium from you might have been dozens of people who got help and who got blessed and who got some refreshment from the same sermon that just kind of passed you over. And you know, when you look around and you see sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so or young person so-and-so look like they got some help from this, I'll tell you something. It's a great day to go anywhere where the Word of God is preached and somebody gets helped. It's not all about me. It's not all about me. It's not all about you. And Paul said, you know, man, I got some joy out of that situation in Corinth, but the more joy I got was out of that young Pastor Titus getting blessed. And that's what this meeting is all about, folks. That's what it's all about. Now, let me just say a couple of things by way of finishing tonight. I want to say two things to you based on the end of this chapter right here. First of all, I want to thank you for receiving the brethren. Now, I want you to look at the end of verse number 15, okay? Verse 15, and his inward affection, that's Titus now, is more abundant toward you. Titus loves you folks now more than he did. is more abundant. Whilst he remembereth the obedience of you all, how with fear and trembling you received him. You know what I think fear and trembling here is a synonym with, folks, is respect. Titus came in Paul's place. The church at Corinth didn't know who Titus was, but Paul sent him. And so they received him with fear and trembling. They received him with a measure of respect. And I want to thank you, church, for receiving the men, the brethren that came to this meeting. There wasn't as many as years and years past. There was about 80 different preachers and so forth that came through here. We lost several because we moved the conference a week. And that was at my request to put a little bit more time between pilots and revival fires because it was so tight. And I don't mind asking Brother Coral to do that. And we knew we would lose because pastors set their schedule, sometimes a great way out. I think we'll pick up more in the future. But you know, here's what I heard over, if I heard it one time, I heard it 10 times, maybe 15 times, maybe 20 times. Your folks were such a blessing. Your people are so kind. Bob Hamblin, Brother Hamblin, who stood up here with that oxygen tank and had to sit down and stand back up and had to work to get out every phrase. He gave me my first breath. I'll give him my last. And the impact on that was, folks, that might be his last. I said to him on Wednesday, Brother Hamlin, are you going home? Well, I'm going to go home for a couple of days. Then I'm going to Eastern Indiana. Then I'm going to Boston, Massachusetts. I thought, dear God, stay home. Stay home. But he's going to live for God till the end. He's going to keep going. I tell you, you know, I said it to Wednesday morning. Maybe you folks weren't here, and most of you, the majority of you will not remember. But that took me back to the 70s at a pastor's school when Pastor Dan Parton preached up there dying of cancer and brought an oxygen tank and preached up there and preached a great message. And God moved in hearts. And somebody, I think it was Brother Woodward, surrendered to preach. Under that message Dan Parr brought. It was the spirit of those services in the 70s here Tuesday night. Unbelievable. But in his note that he wrote to me, and his wife wrote it, she said, your people were such a blessing to always be there at the exact moment we needed help. Now, I don't know who did that. But you have no idea how that makes me feel. That this church stepped up and received the brethren. Some of you did special things for certain ones. I really appreciate that. Those of you that waited on them, picked them up at the airport, brought them back. And even if they weren't on the speaking part of the conference, just the fact that you would greet them and say, good to see you again. I just appreciate and thank you for receiving the brethren. That's what that lesson was about on Wednesday night. The proper treatment of men in ministry. And that wasn't philosophy. That was Bible truth. It was the Word of God. And I just want to thank you. I want to thank you. You know, some of those guys travel a lot more than I do. Some of those guys I travel more than. And I can tell you, you get in some places and it's just like, you pass by, nobody speaks to you. It's strange. It's odd. You feel weird. And I'm glad that didn't happen here. I appreciate it so very, very much. That's what Paul said. He said, his heart is more abundant toward you because of your respect and your attitude toward him. So I appreciate the way that the brethren were received by the people of Faith Baptist Church. And then I want to say number two tonight, that I have confidence in you concerning this conference. Look at what he said in verse 16. I rejoice therefore that I have confidence in you in all things. He's talking to the church. You know what, church? My confidence level in you has just risen. It's grown. It's just absolutely gone through the top because I see how you've treated a man that I sent to you. You didn't even know who he was. And what his report did caused joy in my heart. But man, did it excite. Can you imagine Titus going into that situation? I can see Paul sitting down with him saying, hey, Titus, now look, before you get there, let me tell you a bit about this church. They had immorality. They're puffed up about it. They're a bunch of carnal babies. They got every spiritual gift in the world, but they're carnal. They made an abuse of the Lord's Supper, turning it into a feast, taking advantage, you know, feasting while poor people don't eat. And I wrote them a letter, a hot letter, and told them to get right with God. Now, I want you to go down there and check it out. What's Titus thinking? Hey, folks, who are you? My name is Titus. I'm here from the Apostle Paul. Splat. Get out of here. And that could have happened, right? But when he got there, he found revival. He found all these things that happened in chapter 7, beginning in verse number 10 and 11. And godly sorrow led to repentance. I won't have time to preach on that. Godly sorrow led to repentance and getting right with God. And Titus comes in and he gets word back to, man, Paul, you can't believe it. This place is having revival. And a great spirit. And Paul said, you know what, church at Corinth, I got blessed by your response, but I got the greater joy in watching this young preacher get excited and get blessed, and he just is through the roof, and he loves you more abundantly now because you respected him. And Paul said, you know what? My confidence level in you is just through the roof. I have confidence in you in all things. And you know what, church? Thank you, Brother Angel. Thank you, Brother Angel. Thank you, Brother Angel. Thank you, Brother. I'm not making fun. Because I'm the face of the church. I get it. And if you folks did not want to have this, and if you folks didn't come, and if you folks didn't participate, and if you folks didn't give, and if you folks didn't show up, and if you folks didn't help, we couldn't do it. I know we can do it. We can't do it. How many trips to the airport did you make, Brother Todd? Three trips? And add them up. I bet there was 8 or 9 trips to the airport, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. We can't do all that. And, you know, and say, Brother Andrew, you agree to have the conference. How do you know that the people of Faith Baptist Church are going to, how do you know they're going to respond? Well, I don't know for sure, but based on past experience, my confidence, pretty good. My confidence is pretty strong because I've watched a group of people over the years rally and be here and support and give and help and participate. I realize that I get all the thank yous for having me. Thank you for doing this. I appreciate you doing this. And some of them understand. Some of the pastors, the older ones especially, will say, you know what, thank your church. Thank your church. Thank your church. And I do, and I thank you tonight. But if you didn't respond, you can shut it down. You can shut it down. I'm glad you have it. I'm glad you've responded. I'm glad you've responded. And Brother Coral said, you want to have it next year? And I said, yes, sir. I think it's helpful. I think it's good based on what I hear. And I'm confident in our church people. Confident in our church people. I am enjoying the more joy of watching the others joy. I got blessed, but I got blessed more by the man who gripped my hand and said, this may have salvaged my ministry. I got joy. I got blessed, but I got more blessed by the man whose tears stained my coat. Thank you for having this. I got joy, but I got more joy out of watching these men get blessed and get help from this conference. And folks, what a great way to live. It's not about us. It's not about whether I liked it, I benefited, I gained. I want to get joy and excitement and fulfillment out of watching somebody else get help, even if I didn't. I can joy more over the fact that they got joy. That's all I'm saying. Thank you for all that you've done. This stretch is incredibly difficult. It's incredibly intense from March through the end of April. And I tip my hat and say I love you and I thank you. And I love Passion to Church that I have great confidence in. Let's stand. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. That's my message tonight. Father in heaven, I appreciate these folks. I appreciate their dedication and commitment to you. I appreciate their dedication and commitment to the events that You've led us to have over these years. And Lord, we are grateful that not only did we get help, but others got help too. In fact, Lord, we find greater joy in knowing that somebody else got help over just knowing that we got help. Bless our church. May we keep on the right path, down the right road, pleasing and honoring You with our lives. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The altar's always open for salvation. The altar's always open for baptism, or just somebody whose heart God spoke to tonight in a particular way. Ladies, play us a song of invitation. The altar is open for you tonight. Thank You. Thank You. Father, I pray that You'll bless the message. It was different, but I ask You, Lord, please, to let every person in this church know how sincere my heart is in this thing tonight. And I am appreciative and grateful for their effort in all of this. And Lord, we're grateful that You would bless us with the privilege of helping, being a help to others. Now, Lord, help us to live every day, learning that it's not just about us. It's not just about how we were impacted or how we got something out of something. It's about others. May we find the joy that comes in living for other people, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.